Good morning. Super excited to have everyone with us this morning. So thankful that you guys have made time to join with us today in worship of God. So we're happy to have you here. If you have your bulletins, crack it open. I was looking at the church calendar the other day, and man, we've got a busy month coming up, right? June is full of stuff. And so a lot of stuff happening in May and June. Quick reminder, we will have our business meeting following our corporate worship this morning. So all of our members, we would love for you to stay and be a part of that. If you're joining us and you're not a member, feel free to stay. Also, you can watch us do it, and hopefully we do a good job, and you can let me know later if you think so. Also, reminder, we won't have our evening services tonight because of Memorial Day. You guys can go to your cookouts and hang out and do whatever you're going to do. If you've got some extra food, holler to David's. We'll be more than happy to come to your cookout and hang out with you too, right? Let us know. On June 2nd, there's a sign-up sheet out there in the Hallelujah Hallway. We as a church are going to go and serve up at the Sweet Owen Hub. We're going to be serving up there from 10 to 12:30. And so if you would like to be a part of that outreach ministry, the sign-up sheet's out there in the Hallelujah Hallway on the table, right? June 7th, you guys have known about this. Graduation banquet at 6 p.m. I was told that we have all the pictures for our graduates, and so be sure, is that correct, Regina? Okay, so be sure and check the window out there, the museum window, look at the graduates so you know who you've been praying for all this time, and come back and join us on June 7th. We're going to have a fun fellowship time with everyone. 14th through 18th, VBS. The sheet is almost full out there. I saw Courtney signing people up today as they walked by. Are there still any slots left, Courtney?
A few.
So if you've missed out on the sheet, and you're like, oh man, I don't know what I want to do at VBS. The sheet is still out there. Sign up. Talk to Courtney. She would love to have you sign up. If you look at it too long, she's just going to sign you up on something, right? I saw her do that this morning to somebody. So it is one of our biggest outreaches that we do. We put a lot of time and effort into VBS, and we want to do it as best as we can. And in order to do a VBS as best as we can, is we need a lot of participation. Many hands will make the load lighter than it is. And so take a look at that. We'd love to have you part of that.
I will say,
yes.
If you want a VBS shirt, today is
today's the day.
Name on there, and Rhonda Young is actually
going to
do our shirts this year.
Okay.
So if you want to Venmo, pay her directly,
gotcha.
Just let me know that you have some stuff.
Just like everything else, if you want a shirt, sign up sheets out there. Any questions, talk to Courtney.
Yes.
We're good with that. Yes, talk to Courtney about those questions. Right? We want shirts. Those are always cool. More shirts, the better, right? 21st, you guys know about this. We're going to have a Father's Day breakfast. You got any questions, see Cindy Wilhoit. That's on there. The baby bottles are already coming back in, so we're very thankful for those people that's already taken home and cleaned their couches and their chairs out and filled a baby bottle full of change. If you haven't picked one up yet, they're out there in the Hallelujah Hallway on that little table. Grab a baby bottle, fill it up with change. All the money goes to the Hope Lives Pregnancy Center. And they go and they educate women, they educate men, and they protect unborn lives. And so it's a very worthwhile ministry. We'll be doing this through Father's Day. So if you want to be a part of that, you can do that. Man, I got some bad news for some of you that love the study in the book of Romans, which if you've been to it, I promise you, you love it. Because June is so full, we're not going to meet again until the 28th. That doesn't mean you can't read the book of Romans, right, Bobby? You can go ahead and start reading, get ahead of things. But the 28th, mark that, is when the next class will be back in action. All right, you guys know the rest of that. We've got a birthday and an anniversary to celebrate today. The first birthday is for Ricky's birthday. There we go. Ice fishing. That's crazy.
I can't tell it's me. It's good.
No, I can tell it's you. I can tell it's you. Ice fishing. That just blows my mind. That's even a thing. And then we also have an anniversary. Ricky and Cindy's anniversary also. Very good. And Cash slides in the picture. Why am I not surprised that Cash is in there? All right, again, like we always say, we want to celebrate birthdays, we celebrate anniversaries, because you know why? We're a family. We care about one another, we love one another, and we also want to be reminded of what this looks like. And so we're so thankful for those opportunities. But the most important thing we're thankful for is that now we get to come together as a body in Christ, as the church, and worship the only thing in your life worthy of worship, and that's Jesus Christ. So let's pray and let's get to it. Dear God, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for a bulletin full of activities. Not activities to just keep us busy. Lord, we are not a club. We are a church. And so we take these activities very serious because we know they glorify you. So we want to be producers of worship, Lord, and we can do that through so many things. And here at Dallasburg, Lord, there's never a shortage of places to serve and things to do to glorify you. So, Lord, we thank you for a full bulletin. Lord, we thank you for birthdays. We thank you for anniversaries. But most importantly, we thank you for this special time you give us right now to come to worship, to thank on who you are, to sing songs of praise and be reminded of your glory, of your holiness, of the fact that you're full of grace and you're full of mercy, and how blessed we are to have you in our lives. So, Lord, I pray that right now we're able to set aside the busyness of later today. Maybe it's a cookout. Maybe it's hanging out with friends and family tomorrow. We can kind of put that on pause in our heads, and we can truly focus and be present in the moment and thank on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. What a pleasure it is to be with you this morning to worship our Lord. So I invite you, let us stand and let us worship our God, the uncreated one. God, the uncreated one, the author of salvation, who wrote the laws of space and time and fashioned worlds to his design. The one whom angel hosts revere, hung the stars like chandeliers, numbered every grain of sand, knows the heart of every man. He is King forever. He forever, he is King forevermore. God, our fortress and our strength, the rock on which we can depend, matchless in his majesty, his power and authority, unshaken by the schemes of man, ever changing, great I am. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, he is faithful through it all. Crown him King forever, crown him King forever, crown him King forevermore. Mighty God, in mortal flesh, forsaken by a traitor's kiss, the curse of sin in centuries did pierce the lowly Prince of Peace. Oh, lifted high the sinless man, crucified the spotless Lamb, buried by the sons of man, rescued by the Father's hand, to reign as King forever, reign as King forever, reign as King forevermore. Oh, lifted high the sinless man, crucified the spotless Lamb, buried by the sons of man, rescued by the Father's hand, to reign as King forever, reign as King forever, reign as King forevermore. King eternal, God of grace, we crown you with the highest praise. Heaven shouts and saints adore your holy, holy, holy Lord. What joy in everlasting life, all is love and faith aside. Justice rolls and praises rise at the name of Jesus Christ. King of kings forever, King of kings forever, King of kings forevermore. King of kings forever, King of kings forever, King of kings forevermore. Amen. He is our King of kings forever. And forevermore we will sing of his holiness and we will praise him for who he is. So let us sing together of our God who is holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful, Blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, who art and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works I praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Amen. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. All we can say is that that glory given to Christ is absolute, for he is faithful to us for now and forevermore. So let us sing together, all glory be to Christ.
Should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house, in vain its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is your life? A mist that vanishes at dawn, all glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King, all glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing, all glory be to Christ. His will be done, his kingdom come on earth as is above. Who is himself our daily bread? Praise him, the Lord of love. Let living water satisfy the thirsty without price. We'll take a kind of kindness, yet all glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing, all glory be to Christ. When on the day the great I am, the faithful and the true, the Lamb who was for sinners slain is making all things new. Behold, our God shall live with us and be our steadfast light, and we shall ere his people be. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing, all glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing, all glory be to Christ.
Amen. All glory be to Christ forevermore. And together here now for all eternity, we crown him with many crowns, for he is deserving of them all and more. Let us sing. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways. From pole to pole where wills may cease, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet fair flowers of paradise extend.
their fragrance ever sweet. Round him the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, those wounds yet visible above in beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity.
Amen. You may be seated.
Psalm 116, 12 through 14. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you now thanking for the time we've had to come together to sing praises to your name. And ask you to be this time we come to give back what you get so richly blessed us with, Father. Pray be used to your honor and your glory. Pray that you be with Michael this morning. We put away all distractions and would hear what you have him to speak to us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
All right, our kids will head on off to Children's Church. We pray for their time. We're thankful for, the Perry's teaching today. We pray and thankful for the Perry's and their teaching and guidance. If you have your Bibles with you, you can go ahead and be turning to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to be making our way through verses 20 through 28 today, a pretty big chunk of scripture. Well, for me, it's a big chunk of scripture. I want to remind you guys of something. This happened in 1991, so late in the 1900s, right? Somebody always said, when were you born? I just tell them, I was like, 1900s. I was like, yeah, we knew you were old. And so I was a junior in high school in 1991, and I remember this, and I don't remember a lot from my teenage years for a lot of reasons, but this went crazy. I can remember this being a big deal. There was a lady in Texas. Her name was Wanda Holloway, and she had a daughter. And her daughter wanted to be on the cheerleading squad. And I'm guessing in Texas, being on the cheerleading squad is a big deal. And one of her daughter's friends also wanted to be on the cheerleading squad, and she made it, and Wanda's daughter didn't make it. And Wanda became so upset that she hired a hitman to go and kill the mom, with the thought process being that if we kill the mom, the daughter will be so upset that she'll drop out of cheerleading, and then my daughter will then make the cheerleading team, right? Well, of course, the hitman wasn't a hitman. It was someone else, and they reported to the police, and they set up a sting. And long story short, Wanda went to prison for a couple years over that, right? And you hear that, and I can see some of you are like, I kind of remember that happening. I'm old enough, I remember it. Others of you who are way too young remember that, like, who would be crazy enough to do that? Parents do crazy things for their kids, right? Sometimes good things, also sometimes really bad things. And so we come to a piece of scripture today that we see a mom doing something pretty crazy for her sons. But thankfully, Jesus, again, as he is the master of using every situation as a teaching opportunity, as he turns this into a teaching opportunity for the disciples, and also a teaching opportunity for us to grow in a deeper understanding of what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be humble, and what it means to serve, right? And so we have to have a servant attitude. Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" And they said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever who would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came to be served, but came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for scripture. Lord, we thank you for taking awkward situations like we see here, the first part of this scripture. And Lord, we're thankful for your son that's able to turn that into a wonderful teaching example to show how he modeled the perfect behavior as a servant. Lord, also to, and we'll go through this today in our time together, to take a deep dive into the sinfulness of our heart, to be reminded of our default setting, to be reminded of what we would be like without you. So, Lord, we thank you for your indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for the peace it gives us. We're thankful for the focus it gives us. We're thankful for how it convicts us and how it teaches us what is wrong and reveals these things to us. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we pray that you continue to grow us through sanctification. We pray that we continue to grow into the image of your Son, that we can say every day we look a little bit more like Jesus and a little bit less like the world. And so, Lord, we thank you for those opportunities. We thank you for giving us the desire to get out of comfort zones, to stop being complacent individuals, to try things that are difficult for us, to put ourselves in awkward situations, again, not for our glory, but for your glory. And Lord, we know that the only way that we're going to be able to do that is through the drive of the Holy Spirit. So we thank you for that. Lord, we pray that what we learn today be glorifying to you. We pray that we can then go out into the world and use it to evangelize and share the gospel with the lost world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So why is this such a... And it's kind of lost on us why this is so, it's graphic, really. Don't forget, just last week, Jesus gave the disciples the third and final message. Hey, I'm headed to Jerusalem. You guys are going to go with me. You're going to see me murdered. You're going to see me put on a cross. You're going to see me get beat, then put on a cross. You're going to see me stuffed into a tomb, and then you're going to see me 3 days later. And Jesus just gave that huge lesson last week. It's basically the gospel summarized. It's a very short version of that. And so very serious, hard stuff. And the minute in Scripture, sometimes Scripture compresses time and sometimes it elongates time. We don't really know here, so what most scholars do is just assume that this happened right after what Jesus just said. So we're like minutes after last week's. We're picking it back up today. And so Jesus gives this very hard lesson for the third time. Right, that the guy that they love, the Savior, the Messiah, who they believe to be the promised Messiah of the Old Testament, is going to be killed. And after that, James and John's mom walks up to him and said, "Hey, I want to ask a favor of you. I want you to do something for my boys. I want you to hook my kids up." It's just crazy, right? Read the room, right? It's a very poor reading of the room by the mom here. But anyway, she does it. And she walks up there and she does that. And it reminds us, number one, of a problem that we have is worldly ambition always seeks position. And you've seen this. You've seen this in your workplaces. You've seen people, and some of you sitting here right now probably still have the wounds in your back where someone has stabbed you in the back to climb the corporate ladder. Or they've tried to purposely make you look bad. Right, they tried to purposely go to the supervisor and said, "Hey, don't trust Carter with this important thing because he'll do this." And they do that to try to make themselves. Kaylin's like, "Carter's in trouble." He's not in trouble, Kaylin. I just use him as an example, right? And you've seen this, and some of you have experienced this, but the reality is that the people of the world, the people living for the darkness, people who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're always going to try to seek to improve their position, and they don't care who they have to step on to do it. And we had to be very careful with that. The truth is, the disciples, James and John's mom, that's who this is, the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, so this is James and John's mom. Scripture doesn't say her name specifically, but most scholars believe her name to be Salome. There's two Salomes in the Bible, and she's one of them, right? Most people also believe that she's Jesus' aunt, right? James and John are his first cousin. None of that really matters. That's free for you, right? But that's what most scholars believe. This is not only an awkward question, it's also his family putting him in an awkward situation, right? But the truth is this, she wanted something. The sons wanted something, the disciples wanted something, and I think we as Christians also want something that's a misunderstanding, is that the disciples wanted the crown without understanding the cup, right? They wanted the glory. I said it last week. I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and I've had it on my desk for a couple weeks now. I've been looking at it every day. So often the world wants the lion. Right? We want people to come in, and they want Jesus to come in like a conqueror, and he wants to start chopping people's heads off, and they want him to be a conqueror. And we want that sometimes, and we want to do that. We're like, "Man, this guy cuts me off in practice. I'm about to get out in traffic, and I'm going to jump out of my car, and I'm going to handle this myself." We want the lion, but praise be to God, he knew that we needed the lamb. Right? And this is what the disciples get wrong, and I think it's what we get wrong quite often, is we want the crown without the cup. You've heard the old saying, we want our cake, but we want to eat it too. Well, that doesn't make any sense. If you want the cake, you can't eat it. If you want to see a cake, you got to want to eat it. So many of us want all the benefits of being a Christian, right? You just heard me in my prayer, and I'm guilty of this too. We tell people about the peace that Christ offers, and he does. He does offer you peace. We talk about the love that we see modeled in Christ, and it's a beautiful thing, and the togetherness and all the positives. And man, that's what we try to convince people. Man, that's what you'll get. But the reality is also is that we never bear the cup that Christ bore, but we also must suffer. And we also are going to experience hardships. We also are going to have awkward situations, even with our own families. I know that some of your all's testimonies is that because you're a Christian, because you're a believer in Christ, because you're trying to model what Christ shows us in Scripture, and you're trying to do what God calls us to, that your own family has a tendency to want to ostracize you and not invite you to things. That's part of what we have to go through. And so we need to grow in understanding what the cup means, right? We have to also, like in 2 Timothy chapter 2:12, if we endure, right, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. We must also persevere. We must also process the suffering. We must also deal with the hardships of the world. And I think so often as Christians, we only want to talk about the good stuff and we don't want to talk about the other part of that. But you know what the truth is? The other part is also the good stuff. The trials are also good things. You heard in that prayer, I prayed this for you on a very regular basis. And some of you are probably like, man, stop praying that for me. I'm not going to. I pray for you to get out of your comfort zones all the time in my private life. Be bold, right? Take opportunities to share the gospel. Hey, when you know somebody asked me to serve, like, man, I don't feel like I'm called to serve in that. Try it anyway. Get out of a comfort zone. Try it. Because I'm telling you, in my life and what I've seen in most of your all sanctification, you grow the most when you get out of your comfort zone and you try something new. Because guess what? You know who's doing it? Not you. The indwelling of the Spirit is guiding you and giving you that strength. And I think this, the disciples are getting this wrong. We know they get it wrong, right? They get it super wrong because they're still expecting a kingdom to show up on earth to where Christ is head of it and the Romans are run out of Israel. That's what they are still expecting. This is what the mother is asking for. Hey, when you get on your throne and we run the Romans out, I want James and John to sit at your left and your right, right? I want them to have positions of authority in your kingdom. And Jesus says, you don't even know what you're asking. You have no idea what you're asking, right? Something else that I think is another example of the dangerous part of our hearts, and we have to be careful with this, is the human heart naturally desires recognition. You naturally desire for people to see you doing something. And some of you are like, man, I'm an introvert. I don't desire that. We all desire it on some level. Most of us like to hear the credit. Right? We want appreciation. We want to hear the applause. We want someone to tell us how great we are at things. And we want our sacrifices to be noticed. Right? You guys heard me say this a couple weeks ago. One of my biggest pet peeves is to see, and I see this in Christian articles and magazines, and Christians serving on the mission field. And then someone there right beside them taking a picture. Right? Why do we have to have a picture of this? It's one of the reasons I'm glad we quit taking pictures at Dining with Dignity. We're not here for the picture. We're here to serve. Right? And so we have to kind of stamp that out in us. Like Jeremiah says in 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. That is your heart without Christ. It is, who can understand it? No, that's what he says right there. Who can understand it? You guys know recently we bought a third vehicle, aka Black Betty, a 2008 Toyota Tacoma that's got a lot of miles on it. So it doesn't have any Bluetooth in it, and so it's got a CD player though. So I went to the flea market the other day. I bought like four or five CDs for a dollar. One of them was Garth Brooks CD. I was like, dude, we're going back to the 90s. Here we go. I put that in. The second song is like, Learn to Follow Your Heart. I popped it out. I was like, I'm done with that, right? And it's just what the world tells us, right? The world tells us to follow our heart. The world tells you to do what you want to do. Do what you think you should do. Scripture tells you the exact opposite of that. Scripture tells you that your heart is deceitful. You cannot listen to your heart. What you have to listen to is God's word. And we have to fight against that. It's in our music. It's in the stuff we read. It's in advice that unfortunately people get. To our graduates, you guys are going to hear so many lectures. You've already heard a bunch of lectures of people trying to give you advice. And they're going to give you bad advice. Follow your heart. Stop listening to that. Don't follow your heart. I'm picking on Audrey because I see her right there. There's probably other graduates here too, right? Don't listen to that, right? Because our heart will lead to what? To pride. Proverbs 16:8, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is where you get the saying, pride goes before the fall. This is where this comes from. This is the proverb that you get that saying. We have to understand is that the human heart naturally wants to do the opposite of what Jesus is teaching here. And so we have to be careful. We don't want to kick the apostles in the teeth too much because guess what? They're humans just like you and I, and they're struggling with this. right? And so we don't want to kick the mom too hard either. And so one of the things that I would ask you is that do you have a desire to serve Christ when you know no one's watching? Do you have that desire, right? Am I content to be faithful to Christ without being praised? I'm going to give you an example of this. Last Saturday, we were here for a birthday party, right? And Molly and I go downstairs to do something, and I don't know who was more scared, Steve or us, because I came around the corner and there stood Steve with a mop bucket, and I was like not expecting Steve to be downstairs with a mop bucket mopping the basement at 6 o'clock on a Saturday night. Meredith and I get in the truck, we leave, she goes, what was Steve doing in the basement mopping? I was like, I think two things, Molly. I was like, number one, I think he loves his wife, and he's down there trying to help his wife clean up the basement. Right? Number two is he was down there serving God, and he did not expect or want anyone to see him down there, and we scared him when we came around the corner and he saw us. This is what Christ desires. This is what he wants, is people willing to serve him without having to constantly be patted on the back and say, look at me, you guys see how hard I'm working? Because if you're doing that, it is very obvious you're serving just to please man. And Christ clearly tells us is that we are supposed to serve as if we're working for the Lord. Those people that are serving just to please man, they should appreciate the applause and praise they get on this side, because Scripture says that's all they're going to receive. And so we have to be careful with that. Again, because why? It's because our hearts want to be patted on the back. Our hearts want to be told we're the best mopper that we've ever seen. Our hearts want to be told that we're the best at doing this. And the reality is this, is that as long as God knows you're giving it your best, that's all that matters. We don't need someone comparing us and judging us and telling us these things. Colossians 3:23 through 24, you guys know this verse. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. When you go out and you work and you do something you're supposed to do, you work as if you're working for the Lord. Why? Because you're trying to glorify him. You're not trying to get the applause from the world. Who cares? Right? Now, of those of you that are in leadership positions, I think it's important to tell your people you value them and you care about them. And you're like, I appreciate the hard work you're doing. I try to send texts out all the time to people. Hey, thanks for the hard work. Right? That's just me acknowledging that they understand they're not working for us at the church. They're working for the Lord. And we're thankful for that. We move on there. Matthew 24 through 27, Jesus now focuses in. Right, he kind of corrects the wrong understanding there, and now he starts talking about what the kingdom requires, right? And what does the kingdom greatness require? It requires humble service, right? And so what we see there is the other 10 disciples get what? It says they become indignant. That's a fancy word, David. Right? You're like, what does that word mean? Right? You got to look it up. It means mad. They get mad. And the question is, why do they get mad? And I think that is the million-dollar question. Why do the other 10 get mad that James and John have their mom trying to get favor for them? In my reading of Scripture, in my study, I do not think they get mad for the right reason, right? I think the right answer would be that, well, they are upset because they don't understand what it means to be a servant. And they're not trying to focus on being a servant attitude. That would be a theoretical answer. They're really mad is because James and John beat them to it. And they're like, well, man, I didn't even think about asking for a special favor. I didn't think about getting my mom to come up here and do something special for me. They are also at a problem is because they want to be great also, but they don't want to do the humble service part of it, right? They don't understand that. Right, we see that it happens in other places in Scripture, in the parallel verses in Mark chapter 9:35, and he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would you be first, must be last, and of all a servant of all." Right, and so the disciples are constantly fighting over this. Right, who's going to be the best? Who's going to have the best seat? Who's going to do this? And the reality is, when you are called to be a Christian, when the Lord calls you and you receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, there is a very important word that has to become part of your everyday living, and that's humility. You have to begin to understand and grow through what God teaches you as being a humble servant, right? And so one of the things I think when you hear this preached or you read this, I think one of the things that a lot of people get wrong is Jesus is not saying you can't be great. Because often this is preachers like, you should not be great. You should want to be, you know, you should want no one to ever know who you are and all this stuff. The reality is Jesus is not saying not to be great. He's just redefining what greatness is, right? Greatness is not being above others and being the boss, right? Greatness is actually serving others in love. You want to be a great Christian is you're a servant. That's what God says you are. Greatness is not demanding to be served. This is something I see in a lot of churches with their pastors, and pastors try to do that to churches. They try to say, hey, you're supposed to serve me, right? I've got the authority. I'm the shepherd. Yeah, Crystal's like, you try that, Michael, see how that goes for you. I know how that would go, right? The reality is this, is as the shepherd, I am not to be demanding it. I should be the most willing servant in this church because I see what Scripture teaches. You guys see what Scripture teaches too. But we have the great shepherd, and then we have under shepherd, and then we have brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we should be serving one another, not demanding to be served. It's one of the things, and I am sure every one of you have a scenario like this. You work someplace and a big wig, that's what we called them, big wigs coming. Right, we got a big wig showing up on Monday. Now, sinful me, I'm like, who cares? Let them come on in. Right? That don't last. That's why I never was a big wig myself, because I didn't play along very well with that. And what do? You do extra cleaning. You get everything cleaned up. Let's paint some stuff. Let's all sit there and act like, hey, you got to wear your best clothes. Wear your best clothes on Monday. But Monday's the day we get to wear blue jeans. Not this Monday. You wear your khakis and you wear buttons down, and we're going to act like we've got all this together. And this big wig walks through, and 9 times out of 10, they never even look at all the work that somebody had to do. They just walk right on by it, right? But the reality is we're trying to set this person up on this pedestal like they're something special. We're trying to say, well, man, we should all be serving them. And the reality of this, the greatest organization that's ever existed, the church, the most important person came to do what? To serve, not to be served. And we should look to Jesus Christ for this model. If you want to know how to be a good servant leader, you look to Jesus Christ to do that. You serve people. You love people. You don't ask for people to do special things for you. You don't come to a meeting and somebody offer you a special kind of coffee. You're like, oh, I only take honey in my coffee. I'm not going to drink this drool, right? You're not going to act. You're not supposed to act like that. I see it all the time. I was part of a lot of those meetings. I was like, you got to be kidding me. This guy's crazy, right? Always an important guy, right? This is probably not the main message today. We'll get to the main message at the end, but I think this is an important part of today's message. This is verse 26. And Jesus says to them, it shall not be so among you. That's a real simple little sentence there, but I think it's huge. I think for too long, the church tried to model the world in trying to set it up. Right? We want to look like the world. We should have someone in charge. We have a few other people kind of in charge, and we go along right there. It's like the church should not look like a regular organization. This is what Jesus is saying. When you, because the apostles do what? Right? Minus Judas. We know what happened. Well, we'll get to what happens to him later. Right? But the 11, then we add another guy in. Those 12 then go out to do what? To start the churches. Right? They plant churches, and they show people how to do this. And we are all benefactors of one of the apostles planting a church somewhere. That person told someone about Christ, told somebody else, told someone else. Next thing you know, we hear about Christ because of some of their work. And so their job was not to look like the world. Their job was to look like something different. And so what we have to do is the church cannot be marked by pride. It cannot be marked with control issues. It cannot be marked with rivalry. It cannot, the church has no place for self-importance. The church should be marked by humility. The church should be marked by love. It should be marked by sacrifice. And based on today's message, the church should be marked by service. We should be wanting to serve. One of the things that I do, and some of you have sat through my marriage counseling, it's one of my favorite type of counseling to do is marriage counseling. Is you want to know how one of the secrets to having a happy marriage is you try to outserve your spouse. And never fails when I say that, like, well, what if they did something dumb? I'm like, well, let me tell you this, they're going to do something dumb. And so are you. But every day, if you're trying to outserve your spouse and you're trying to serve them in humility and you're loving on them, it will go leap years into your marriage being a godly marriage if you're trying to outserve one another. And you know what that takes to try to outserve somebody? You got to be humble. You can't walk in and say, I'm the king of the castle. This is what I do here. It's not how it works, right? The world will constantly tell you, right? The world's always going to tell you, you got to climb higher. You know what Jesus teaches us? You got to bow lower. You got to get lower. The world tells you, go out and make a name for yourself. And this is one of the hard ones. When Jesus tells you to do what? Deny yourself. It's not about you. You're not the center of the universe, right? The world tells us to go out and use people, right? Jesus says, no, you're supposed to serve people. And so this is, and I think this, in my opinion, right, I could be wrong in this, the secondary part of today's message is right here. The church should never look like the world. The church should never look like an organization. And man, I am not trying to beat up on mega churches here. That model is dying a slow death, right? It's slowly falling apart for a lot of reasons. But the problem is, and you get in these huge organizations and you start elevating these superstar pastors, and you see videos of those guys coming on stage, and all they talk about is how expensive their tennis shoes were. Like, who cares what kind of shoes your pastor's wearing? I care about what the pastor has to say. But it's because they want to puff themselves up and they want to brag that they have $3,000 shoes on. If I ever buy $3,000 shoes, Brad, I want you to whip me in the parking lot, dude. Come on, man. Like, how is this a thing? How did we get to the point that we care more about how our pastor dresses than how he interprets Scripture for us? It's ludicrous. But you see it all over the place. And it's because those pastors, and I believe they're pastors, I don't think they're trying to do things wrong. What happens if they've lost the understanding that their job is to serve their church and to share the gospel? They've lost that simple truth. And man, we got to fight against that. We got to learn to serve people. And I'll also say this, that message just isn't for Raphael and I. It's not just for your Sunday school teachers. It's not just for your trustees or your deacons or other positions. This is for every Christian, is that you have to humble yourself. You have to deny yourself. You should be desiring to serve others, right? Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You want to know how you start thinking differently? Is when you have Jesus Christ in your heart. He changes your attitude. He changes your thoughts. He changes your desires. He changes your behavior. This is why we can say you are a new creation in Christ. If you are acting like the world, none of what we're talking about today will make any sense to you today. If you are lost and you're living for the world and you're living for self, this is baloney to you. You're like, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Like, I'm supposed to treat others better than I treat myself. I'm supposed to serve others. I'm supposed to be looking out for my brothers and sisters. And I'm supposed to not do what I want to do sometimes so I can serve others. And Scripture tells you that's exactly what Scripture says. And this is why the gate is narrow and few find the path that lead to eternal life. Because this is difficult. The only way this is possible is with Jesus Christ. You're not going to do this through behavior modification. Right, Matthew 16:24, we've talked about this. If anyone would come after me, what do you have to do? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You stop living for yourself the day you become a Christian and you start living for Christ. And that's an important thing. It's a hard thing, right? True spiritual maturity is seen in a willingness to serve in a task that no one's ever going to see. And no one's ever going to put your picture on the screen. And no one, quite frankly, no one's ever going to know you did it. I will say this. I will praise be to God, but I will also praise be to the members, the saints of Dallasburg Baptist Church, is that we are a good nuts and bolts church, right? I see it because I'm here at the building a lot. I see a lot of you all serving here, right? I see you all here pulling weeds. I see you all out there stroking out, weed eating. I see you putting signs up. I see you working on fences. I see you pouring concrete. I see it. But who cares if I see it? The most important thing is that God saw you doing that, right? And God saw you serving. You didn't do what you want to do that day. You came and served the Lord by taking care of the church or the facilities that the church uses, to say correctly. Now, here is the purpose of this verse. I'm confident of this. This is the third and final point. Who is the supreme example of service? Well, of course, the answer is Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ is that he is king, yet what does he do? He constantly serves. Right, he's constantly inconveniencing himself when he was doing his ministry. Now, we've moved on that in Matthew. We're past all that. Now, he's on his way to Jerusalem now. He's on his way to the cross. But you guys remember that. How many years we've been in Matthew? Don't answer that. It's been several, right? We've been in Matthew for a while. When he was in his miracle ministry phase, constantly inconveniencing himself. Sometimes they'd have to put him in a boat that were so many people because they're crushing in on him. And what'd he do? He stayed and he healed them and he shared the gospel and he taught them, right? He is Lord, right? Capital L, Lord, yet he humbles himself and serves people. He is worthy of worship, yet what does he do? He gives his life for sinners. He's the only individual that's ever existed on earth that did not deserve the cross. But what did he willingly do for believers is he willingly went to the cross on our behalf. Remember last week, the secondary message of last week was this. The cross is not an accident, right? We can look at all the Old Testament prophecy that talks about a cross. Jesus knows what he's doing. He told him when he led him last week, he goes, hey, we're going to Jerusalem. And the disciples are like, well, let's pump the brakes for a second. Are you sure you want to do that? Because that's where everybody who hates us is going to be. And he's like, that's exactly what we're going to do. And the reason I'm doing that is I'm going to be the payment on the cross for not only you, but for all the believers in the world. That's an example. Jesus came not to be served. If anyone that you've ever read about or known deserved to be served, it's Jesus Christ. But he did the exact opposite. He came to serve. Right? He sustains all things. He rules over all things. Angels worship him. Demons fear him. The wind and waves obey him. Yet he came not to be served, but to be served. This is the humility we see in Jesus Christ. And I think I can speak for those of you that are believers. You know, I said the word sanctification a minute ago, and I believe that most of you desire sanctification, right? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I know you do, because there's no other option. You want to be more like Christ, you become more servant-oriented. You become more humble. You become less about self. You become less like, well, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to mop the floor as soon as I know that my wife comes home. So she sees me in there mopping. She's like, boy, he's been working all day. You're like, no, I haven't. I saw you on Life 360 pulling the driveway and I came in here and started acting like I was mopping. Not that I've done that. I've totally done that, right? The reality is, it's not about praise. It's about serving. And again, this is, and I think sometimes we miss this, this is radical stuff that Jesus is talking about here. It's stuff that you can't really get your head wrapped around because so many of us are thinking like the world and not thinking like Christ. And it takes time. It takes time to get to that. How did Jesus serve us most perfectly, right? Is that he came to be a ransom. He came to be the payment for our sin on the cross, right? Jesus uses the word ransom there, right? He uses the word ransom because it's a payment used to secure release. We're going to take someone hostage, you pay the ransom, and we turn them loose. You guys, unfortunately, have seen this in the world many times. Christ came to pay our ransom so that we might be free, right? And Jesus' teaching is his death isn't accidental. He came to live his life perfectly so that he could then go to the cross and actually be the payment for sin because he is the perfect, spotless lamb. He did this intentionally. Why? Because he loves us. And number two is because he understood his role was to serve us. It's an amazing thing. He gave his life for many. Let me give you a verse here, right? 1 Peter chapter 2, 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Isaiah prophesying about this, 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. Christ didn't pay for his sins on the cross. Why? Because he had no sins. He paid for the believer's sins. He paid for our sins on the cross. Man, I've thought about this all week, and I pray that it's rattled around in your heads also. I said it last week. Don't ever think that you earned your salvation because you didn't. But never think your salvation was cheap either. It was bought with the blood of Christ. The one who knew no sin. who loved you and willingly went to the cross. And so it was freely given to you through your faith, but don't ever think it was cheap. Don't ever treat it as cheap. Don't ever treat it as something that can be thrown away. The theology of that is bad anyway. The reality is this, it's a wonderful thing that Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. This is how Christ served us. And ultimately, this is the last thing I'm going to tell you, and then we'll wrap up, is that the gospel, if you really grab a hold of the gospel and you think about it, and like I say, like the marinate on it, and you meditate on it, and you read scripture, there's no way that the gospel doesn't produce anything in you but humble, a humble attitude and a humble servant. Right? Anything you've ever done good, any type of love you've ever shown somebody, any kind thing you've ever done, any nice thing you've said to someone, where do you think that came from? Don't think it was you, because we've already looked at what your heart is. Your heart is deceitful. No one can understand it. Anything you've ever done right is because you have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and God the Father indwelling in you. So the only thing good in you is the Holy Spirit. And the only reason you can ever do anything good is that when you show love to someone, you're showing just a little slice of the perfect love that God showed to you through his son, Jesus Christ. If you're able to show any mercy to anyone, it's just simply because a little bit of that mercy that indwells inside of you is coming out. If you've ever want to serve and you have this servant attitude, don't ever think you're doing that on your own. It's because the Holy Spirit is growing you. And it gives you that opportunity. And why are you able to do that? It's because hopefully you understand through God's word and through, you know, other preaching and other teaching and you guys reading the Bible on your own, is you understand that Christ did this perfectly for us, and it should drive us also to be a servant because of how he served us perfectly on the cross. This is where this comes from. This is why you're capable of loving. This is why you're capable of being a grace giver. This is why you're capable of serving others, not because of yourself, but because of Christ that indwells inside of you. And that should drive us to desire this, right? Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. But Christ willingly went to the cross to be the payment for us. I feel like this is tailor-made. You know, Memorial Day, we celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow, right? What is Memorial Day? Memorial Day was originally designed as a day to celebrate soldiers who lost their lives in war. And you're talking about service. You're talking about serving. Right, that's a serving example of individuals that loved this country so much that they were willing to go and sacrifice and give everything they ever had for it. So you've seen models of servant attitudes. You've seen that. But you've never seen it anywhere done perfectly except in Jesus Christ. And so as tomorrow you're celebrating Memorial Day or maybe celebrating it this afternoon, I want to give you a challenge, right? A challenge day, right? I would encourage you to ask this. Are you seeking position? Are you trying to gain position in the world or in the church? Or are you seeking faithfulness? Which do you care the most about? Do you care to be more important or do you care to be more faithful to Christ? Are you serving for recognition or are you serving because you love Christ? I think that's a fair question, right? I think it's fair, right? The call of this passage isn't to try harder to serve, and it's easy to turn it into that. Right, you guys got surveys this morning. We're getting ready to find positions to serve, and we could talk about that, and I could manipulate you, and man, we could have everybody sign up for these positions. That is not the purpose of this message. It's not to try harder. The purpose of this message is to look at Christ and to see him for his beauty, to see him for his perfect attitude, to see him for his desire to serve. And the more you look at Christ and the more you can see his beauty, you do not need me to try to manipulate you into serving. The more you understand who Christ is and how much he loves you, there will be people fighting to serve. Hey, man, can I do this? Hey, can I do that? And so what my job as your pastor, one of my jobs is to help you show the beauty of Christ, to show you how beautiful he is, to show you how much he loves you, to show you how he serves you perfectly by going to the cross for you. And the more we can see that and the more we can get that into focus, the more we will be willing to serve, the more we will be willing to love, the more we'll be willing to show others grace, and the more we will be willing to look like him and less like our sinful selves. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for awkwardness in Scripture. Lord, I thank you for James and John's mom asking this horrible question, which gave you the opportunity to teach this wonderful truth. I thank you for inspiring Matthew through the Holy Spirit to record this for us so we can study this many, many years later, that it can be a reminder to us of what it means to be a servant when we see the perfect example in Jesus Christ of the perfect serving attitude. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth. Lord, I pray again, I pray for each of us to grow in our ability to see Christ in his beauty, to see who he is, to see the love that you had for us by sending your son, by having Jesus put on flesh to come and be the payment for our sins. Lord, we thank you for that truth. And Lord, I know it's easy to think on this on a Sunday morning when we're all focused, but Lord, I pray that we think on it every day. I pray we think on it on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I pray that we see the beauty of your son every day, and that it will encourage us and drive us to a better understanding to look less like the world and more like your son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let us stand and let us respond. To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Turning back, though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. Turning back.
Amen. Again, quick reminder, we will not be here this evening, so I pray that whatever you're doing this evening, I pray that you glorify God inside of that. It's a good thing. Also, reminder, we are having our business meeting We got a lot to cover today, so the quicker you can collect your kids and get back, probably the better for all of us, because I'm sure some of you are hungry and you want to get home to eat, so the quicker we can get that rolling, the better. But again, and what I pray for you is as you head out into the world, right, I pray that God continues to give you opportunities to serve him. I pray that he continues to give you opportunities to love the world, and I pray that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is that you take those. I pray that most of you are the kindest people that people know, the most generous, the most loving. And when that happens, is that you can always point to, don't give me any of that credit. Give that credit to God because of the indwelling of Jesus Christ in me. If I ever do anything right, it's because of that, right? It's the only reason. Bobby, we close in prayer? Thank you.